Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Welcome aboard. That chatter you hear in the background is the excited discussions of people on an MBTA train at 8:30 Saturday morning headed into Boston to take part in the Women's March for America. Pretty exciting stuff. The MBTA had to put on extra cars. The cars themselves were packed, and there were pink hats everywhere. So it was quite a morning. It was quite fun. My wife and I rode in to downtown Boston. We walked across the Common over to the Massachusetts Climate Action Network headquarters, and where we had cocoa, as we discussed in the last few episodes. It was great. There were people from all around Boston and across the state there. We had people from Quincy, from Clinton, Massachusetts, of course, from Jamaica Plain, towns around Boston. We had people from Lowell. And in fact, we had a big contingent that came in from Western Massachusetts. So it was great. Lots of people. It was clear as we walked to the office that Boston Common was packed. I mean, really packed. We went up and had a cocoa. When we came back out, the Common was even more packed. So we took the MCAN banner and marched down to the Park Street Station, and then we tried to head off towards the speaker stand, which, of course, was quite crowded at that point, and we ended up basically stalling out about halfway through the Common, and there we stood and tried to listen to the speakers. So let me give you a sense of what it felt like to stand in the Common among, let's say, 200,000 other people to make their opinions known. And ironically enough, we were in some sort of a pocket where you couldn't really hear the speakers very well, but you did get the crowd reaction to some of the speakers, and we'll take a listen to what that sounds like. Pretty cool to hear these deep-throated roars come up out of the Common from way down where we couldn't quite see or hear very well. But since we had time, we ended up doing one of the things I wanted to do. Of course, I brought my digital audio tape recorder, and I wanted to get people's reactions and why they'd come to the protest in the first place. But turns out I'm a pretty bad reporter. But we did have good luck because one of the people in the crowd, Henrietta Davis, who is actually on the board of MCAN, told me this, and you can hear what transpired.
I'm a former NPR reporter. You want me to ask the questions?
Sure. So go ahead. You ask people questions. So at that point, things got a little bit meta, if you know what I mean, because I suddenly became an interviewee on a program I was trying to tape. But let's listen in, because it's more than me there.
We're here at the Boston Women's March for America. There's so many people here we can't see beyond where we're standing, even if we're tall. Let me just ask people here to say who they are and where they came from.
Marianne Clary, Clinton, Mass.
I'm Marianne.
Huh? I'm Andrea Ranger from Somerville.
Andrea.
Steph.
That's my citizen district.
What? From where?
Jamaica Plain.
From Jamaica Plain, and.
But of course, I'm Ted McIntyre from Franklin, Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Nice to see you.
Christina Wilson from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts.
And why are you all here today?
Ted, why are we here?
Well, I'll be brief since this is because we have to stop the Trump climate policies as being unproductive and based in non-fact.
Feel hopeful?
Seeing the number of people here and knowing that there's more people around the country, yeah, it makes me hopeful.
Okay, how about you? What made you come from all the way in from Clinton?
I needed to stand with all the groups and for all the injustice for all the justice we want to stand for, including climate.
What does your sign say?
My sign says, we can't wait. We need clean energy now.
Great. Andrea, you have a sign. What does your sign say?
Mine in the voice of Mr. T says, I pity the fool who says climate change is a hoax.
Wow. And I see you've got a sign too?
A very simple sign on green that just says, speak up, stand up. That's what we have to do right now from day one.
And Ted, your sign?
Holding Andrea's sign.
You're holding Andrea's sign? Can you tell us about your sign, Steph?
Yes, my sign says, unite to fight for all, which can mean a lot of things, like diversity and climate change and women's rights.
Great. Thank you all for coming. And
of course, one of the entertaining things about the whole event was the diversity of reasons that people were there and the signs they had and it was just amazing that because of the broad spectrum, as Stephanie said, it's the broad spectrum of issues that drove people to be there. But anyway, after we interviewed folks, then for a while we stood around a little bit more, but then the actual march began. So if you can imagine, the common is just packed with people. And everyone's going to get out onto Beacon Street. And if you know the area at all, there's an iron fence along Beacon Street for most of the common. So you had to channel yourself through these gates. And, of course, that then became a choke point. And but as we made our way out, I got a chance to talk with Joe Abraham, who is in from Winchester. So let's hear what he has to say.
So we're slowly marching out of the common, right? And I'm chatting with
Joe Abraham.
And what town are you from?
From Winchester.
Winchester. So there's a lot of people here. It's a nice Saturday afternoon.
It sure is.
This is the Boston Women's March for America, right, which covers a lot of ground. Why did you come today?
Well, I'm here because I think it's important that we all show up. It's kind of a little thing. One thing that sort of rang my bell is President Obama's last things he said had to do with being a citizen and engaging in the process. And I think it's important that the leadership in this country understands that we're all out here and we care, and that's why we're here. It's not because, you know, we're not just going to roll over with whatever happens. We want to be engaged. We want to have a voice. And we're not going to be quiet.
So do you think this sends that message?
Well, you know, I think the turnout is great. And I hope it turns out that it's a lot bigger than they thought. And by the looks of things, I can't count heads, but there's a lot of people here today.
And it turns out that Joe's right. I mean, after numbers were quite large, 150, 175... 200,000 people. Right? Maybe we need to go talk to the new president's press secretary to figure out how big the crowd was. But it was a big crowd. So we marched along, and I thought one of the more fun parts of the, although lots of fun parts of the day, but one of the more offbeat things that I was fortunate to experience was the following: marching down Beacon Street, and of course there's two young women with signs in Latin saying that women make the leadership, basically, and stuff, Latin signs. And so I post them, and you know, it turns out they're Latin teachers. And of course, as you know, at the end of every show, we talk about putting a price on carbon. And for those of you with enough patience to actually stare at the screen, as you're listening to the podcast, we have a little logo at the end that tries to say we must put a price on carbon in Latin. Right? I don't know. It seemed like a fun thing to do. Anyway, here was my chance to actually ask, instead of the pigeon Latin that we've got on our logo, how would you really say in Latin that we must put a price on carbon? So here's the great opportunity I had to chat with these two Latin teachers.
Okay, so this is, what's your name?
Erin.
Erin, and you're a Latin teacher.
I'm a Latin teacher, yes.
And I asked you out of the spur of the moment pop quiz to translate, we must put a price on carbon. And you, and what is the translation?
Pretium carbonis nobis imponendum est.
Okay, say that slow again.
Pretium carbonis nobis imponendum est.
Super, okay. And is there, what would be the sort of the English sort of transliteration of the meaning of the, each of those words? You can, like, you know, pretium is value, right?
Pretium is price, yeah, price, price or value. Okay. So there must be imposed by us a price on carbon.
Thank you very much. You
You're
made
very
my
welcome.
Day.
I'm glad we could. I'm very glad we could. Hey.
So thanks to those two wonderful teachers from Boston Latin School. And now I have to go change the artwork on the podcast template to reflect their much more accurate Latin transliteration, a translation of our phrase that we must put a price on carbon. I suppose I should have said we must put a sustainable and equitable price on carbon. But man, that was... Anyway, they did a great job on the spur of the moment. But in addition to must put a price on carbon, the other thing that... One of the things I took out of this whole march is that the march has to be the first day of a sustained activation of citizens. I'm sure you're going to hear me say that over and over again. You've probably heard it from a lot of other people. There's the Michael Moore speech down in D.C. I'm sure you can catch it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. But there you go. So it was a great day. Wonderful people. I want to thank everyone for coming in and taking the time to chat. So there you go. That was the march. That's from last Saturday. So a couple days have elapsed. And I have the wonderful opportunity to welcome aboard Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. So it was quite a weekend for climate activists, well, for the country. I mean, I saw our tweet from Bill McKibben who said, Agent Orange promised to make America great again, and it looked like a pretty great America Saturday afternoon with 3 million people in the streets. But
yes, apparently there was a prominent sign that somebody held up saying "Make America Think Again," which is a sort of a takeoff on sort of a reference, I guess, to Bill Maher's new slogan for his program, Real Time: "Make America Sane Again."
Well, I saw one that said "Make America Gracious Again," which I just thought was sweet. And so, I mean, the signs. So I went to the march, of course, on the Common. The signs were wonderful. They had all kinds of funny signs. I can't even remember them, but they were very. There was one sign that said, "This is a great sign. It's the best sign anyone ever made. Everyone thinks this is the best sign in the world. It's great." There were just all kinds of funny signs. But anyway, so DR, tell me, you were not able to be there. You watched it on television, as they used to say, or maybe, I don't know, streaming media. What was the impression you took from where you were?
Well, one of the things that impressed me was the volume of coverage it received. Mostly, you know, rallies and marches, even of a sizable nature, are ignored by the mainstream press. Think of the 2003 marches against the Iraq War or the 2014 People's Climate March. But this was a media presence that could not be ignored, except for the Fox News channel. The mainstream media gave this the attention it deserved. They could not ignore this. And there was a fascinating, one of the channels had a split screen of Trump speaking at the CIA and some of the marches, and they kept cutting away, not to Trump, but back to the marches, fading as though to suggest that the marches were in fact more important than what Trump was saying in it. And in a very real sense, they were.
Oh, yeah.
So that was very, very, very impressive to see. And perhaps this has signaled a sea change in the way the media covers demonstrations, because usually the media simply, you know, if you go back to the People's Climate March, I remember Phil Donahue was on Tom Hartman's program and saying the media at that time didn't know how to cover protests. Well, maybe the media they finally
figured it out. Yeah. Well, it was pretty impressive. I guess a couple days after the march now, you see various kinds of analyses coming out, and I think the one that persists, that I keep seeing, is how the energy and enthusiasm that were embodied in the march Now, the march, but of course, the D.C. was the big one, but they were all across the country, right? Hundreds of thousands of people in Chicago, L.A., Seattle. I mean, mm-hmm. that energy enthusiasm needs to be channeled into a continuing activism, and particularly activism aimed at politicians to make sure that they take notice, right? Would you agree with that?
Exactly, and it's going to be interesting to see how that gets converted into votes, especially on a state and local level, because obviously it was on a state and local level that those who organized in support of politicians such as Trump were able to get Trump elected. Look at what happened. Look at what mm-hmm. we've talked before about what the right-wing activists did in Wisconsin, how they flipped Wisconsin into a red state, a deep red state. And that was done on a state and local level. That was done through a right-wing version of community organizing. So there's going to have to be a lot of community organizing on a state and local level to get politicians who care about issues such as climate protection into power so that they can pass the laws and pass the regulations that will be needed. You know, as we bear witness to on a federal level, you know, Trump trying to gut regulations. Apparently he gave a speech where he said he's going to shrink regulations by 75%. Well, if that does indeed happen, then obviously on a state and local level, you're going to have to need some regulations in the name of climate protection. So that's where activism and on the ground fighting, on the ground pushing, on the ground organizing will matter. That's where the marches need to go to. The march has to continue into activism day in, day out.
And just in case anyone listening to this missed it, the translation of DR's impassioned and true statement is in a YouTube video that Michael Moore of the Michael Moore speech at the Washington, D.C. event, where he basically said, I mean, you have to watch, it's kind of funny, the guy is an entertaining character, but he gives a list of things that you can do to stay active. And of course, one of the things that he said was to call your congressman every day and tell mm-hmm. him that. I mean, that kind of thing sounds crazy, but man, if they have people calling every single day, and he mm-hmm. went so far as to put up the, I'll give it right now, but the switchboard for the U.S. Congress. So you mm-hmm. don't even need to know who your congressman is. You call this number, I'll say it is 202-225-3121. You call mm-hmm. that, give me a zip code, and they'll give you your congressman, mm-hmm. right? And then you can tell them, you know, don't vote for Tillerson. So I guess they're going to have the opportunity to do that sometime soon, but tell your congressman, tell your senator, boom, this is what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm. And to that end, you know, not that I want to quote the guy because he's a denier, but you and I are familiar with the right wing Boston columnist and talk radio host Howie Carr, mm-hmm. who always used to mock people's apathy with regard to politics by noting that many people couldn't name who their state representative and state senator are. Well, now's the time that people need to know who their state representative and state senator are, as well as their federal representative and senator, because, you know, all of them are going to have to be pressured into action.
And I think that's a good point that I oftentimes step over, but it's if you think you have leverage with your federal, state, and federal rep and senators, man, mm-hmm. you have even more with your state representative and your state senator. They are mm-hmm. so much closer, and that's here in Massachusetts. That's where the action is going to be. So mm-hmm. you need to and it's where do I vote ma.gov, right? Where mm-hmm. do I vote ma.gov, and you can find out who your rep and your senator is, what their contact information is. We've said it 100 times, but I mean the reason we say it again is because coming out of this weekend, people are charged up. They want to do something. They recognize. I mean, I feel better than I felt since November 8th, right? Mm-hmm. The idea that there's a lot of other people out there that are also as worked up as I am. I mean, how you continue that is by calling your congressman and just telling them what you think, not in a mm-hmm. rant, but to say specifically, vote for this, don't vote for that. I like this, I don't like that. I mean, one of the things Michael Moore said, and I was, you know, find 5 of your friends, mm-hmm. right? And all get together and decide who you're going to call that day, right? So it's a networking thing to continue your activism.
Exactly. And going back to what I mentioned about the state and local action, here's an example of how important this is from a climate protection perspective. As you may know, earlier this month, Representative Jen Benson and State Senator Michael Barrett both introduced bills to implement in various to various degrees. Obviously, there are sort of differences between the two bills, mm-hmm. but a state-level carbon tax in mm-hmm. Massachusetts, mm-hmm. to have Massachusetts do what Washington State failed to do in terms of having the state become the first to put a price on carbon.
Yeah.
And obviously, considering what's going on at the federal level, states are going to have to do things like pricing carbon. So again, there's a classic example right. of right. how important right. activism right. on a state and right. local level right. is.
And not to go over ground, but just because you don't know all the details of a carbon tax doesn't mean that you can't call up and say that you support it, right? Mm-hmm. You are not an expert. You're not a policy person. You are just expressing your opinion that you want that. I mean, mm-hmm. One of the other places I'll put up the link, besides the Michael Moore thing, there was a nice little article in Grist about how to, you know, they're always funny, but it's a way to turn yourself into the new, more activated person than you were yesterday, mm-hmm. despite how comfortable your bed is and you just want to go back to sleep. This is how mm-hmm. you can do it. I mean, I think one of the other big themes for me that came out of the march, right, the big day, mm-hmm. was a new term that I heard called intersectional justice. Mm-hmm. New for me, maybe other people have heard it a long time ago, right? But it's the idea that all of the causes, so the thing about the Women's March in Boston was that it was not about a specific issue, right? There mm-hmm. were people there talking about reproductive rights, LGBT rights, climate mm-hmm. stuff, immigration. Everyone was there, but the point being that it is at the intersection of all those things where the strength is that mm-hmm. climate guys will get crushed, LGBT people will get crushed. It's only when we support each other that all of a sudden mm-hmm. you have this massive thing that can happen, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's an important word you'll probably hear more of. At least I intend to use it more going forward. And have you heard intersectional justice? Is that a new one on you, or are you an old hand at this stuff?
I've heard it within the context, actually going back to the 2014 discussion about climate hawks supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, as they say, the people united can never be defeated. Mm-hmm. And of course, the corollary of that is that if the people are divided, if they're squabbling over, you know, who gets the biggest piece of the pie,
right.
then people who want the whole pie will figure out a way to defeat them. So that's something, you know, again, a united movement would be Trump's worst nightmare.
Right. And the unification of that is sort of an interest in human dignity and a society that recognizes the value of all its members, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right? There was one great sign. I'm not even sure I can spit it out, but it said, "If you ignore my, or respect my existence, or expect resistance," right? Mm-hmm. Which is a tongue turner, but it basically is the kind of rallying cry for the march. So,
exactly. And another way to sort of communicate the idea of intersectionality, there's a speech that Deval Patrick gave years ago when he was running for governor, where he talked about how our politics should be organized around the concept of basic decency around community. And that phrase was sort of the intersectionality phrase of the 2000s, but it's the same concept carried forward.
Basic decency around community. I like that. Well, okay, so tell me, Dio, we've got the action that people can take this week is sort of, at least at the federal level, right? There's state mm-hmm. level. Well, we'll talk about the state level because you'll be able to get a chance on Wednesday to go talk to your congressman, your state representative. But it sounds like Tillerson got through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and so he's headed for a vote. I suspect Scott, the hypocrite Pruitt, is going to be heading that same way. So there's Tillerson, Pruitt, Zinke, and Jeff Sessions are yes. a fourfold bunch of, and of course Betsy DeVos seems to be generally regarded as illiterate. But I mean, mm-hmm. these are people you can call up your senator and say, "Don't vote for those guys. They're unacceptable."
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's easy enough to do.
Exactly. Let them know that these folks have got to go.
It's just, you don't have to have a reason. You don't have to explain it. You just say, they are mm-hmm. not acceptable to me. So, and so the other thing that I saw, DR, we haven't mentioned, that we didn't talk about this before, but I read a thing that said Congress has passed something called, so now we're at the federal level, Congress, the RAINS Act, which is regulations from the executive in need of, I don't know, supervision or something. And it's basically this thing that says anytime the federal government puts out a regulation, like the Clean Power Plan from the President Obama, that unless Congress approves of it in 60 days, it can't go into effect. So basically Congress grabs a veto power over any regulation put out by the executive branch. And it is a bad, bad maneuver because you know these Congress guys are not going to let any kind of regulation go through. Of course, what's his face? Agent Orange isn't going to propose many climate regulations, so I guess I'm not worried about it in the near term. But this is a bad bill.
Yes. And we sort of have to make sure that it doesn't get through the Senate.
Right. And that's, again, we can go back to your senator and say, filibuster this thing, right? Don't let it go forward. Exactly. Oh, goodness. So, DR, let me just remind everybody, we should probably quit, but just remind everybody that this, the 25th of January, which is a Wednesday, compared to the mistake I've been making for the last few weeks of saying it's on Tuesday, January 25th is this coming Wednesday. That is the day you can still walk to the State House, get introduced to your state representative and state senator, and tell them that you want clean energy. It's immensely satisfying. There's a link on the page. You can, it's Mass Power Forward Lobbying Day. Go sign up. If you can make it, it will carry you forward from your great march around the Boston Common. So, DR, let me just, we'll quickly close. Put up links to the various things we talked about on the blog at massclimateaction.org. You can find us on Facebook at Mass Climate Action. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and iTunes, right? So, yeah, we're going to close the way we always close. I realize I don't even have the Latin for my phrase about putting a price on carbon. We'll close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, DR, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you all again real soon, guys. Hang in there. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.